In him dwelleth the fullness of God. In him dwelleth the fullness of God. In him dwelleth the fullness of God. And ye are complete in him. Let's all sing it together, all right? Ago, I got a letter from the inaugural committee for the President of the United States, President Bush Sr., inviting me to come to Washington, D.C. and sing during the inauguration. And I did, and Brother and Sister Bradley went with me, and we went there, and we had a big time, and that's a song that I did sing there. The President himself was not able to attend our portion of it. Just my luck, of course, but we were there by invitation of the inaugural committee, and I just thought that was an honor for this little church to get that much recognition from, we got more recognition than that, you know, from a higher source, but But here on earth, it's good sometimes to be able to work with the people of the government. Amen. And it was nice. It was a nice thing on their part. Also, just before I went down there, I completely lost my voice. And could hardly talk above a whisper. And, you know, when President Clinton came here and used our church for the... They wanted to use our little church for the President of the United States to come and use for his office people and everything while he did something here in town concerning prescription drugs. And just when I could have been here, I fell off a truck and injured myself. I could write a good country song about this stuff, you know. So some of you got to enjoy that for whatever that's worth, maybe half a piece of bubble gum. And, but anyway, a lot of good things happen along the way. We have fun serving God, don't we? Amen. Amen. How many of you saw the president here when he came? You were here. You were here. Brother Keith. Brother Rick. And some of y'all got a... Did you get in trouble? Nah, he didn't get in trouble. Amen. Well, anyway. So anyhow, We never know what to expect. You know what's going to happen one of these days? And this is worth more than bubble gum. We're going to go to heaven. And we're going to see the King of Kings. And the Lord of Lords. If I were to announce to you tonight that the President of the United States is here and he's been waiting for me to take charge because he wants to talk to you, would you be surprised? Well, if it's really true, would you stand in honor of him and give him a big hand clap and welcome him to our service? What if I announced to you that the King of Kings and the President over all presidents is here tonight? He really is. Hallelujah. Welcome Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Mighty God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, he's here. He's here to meet your need tonight. Oh, bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. God's good. I'll read a scripture while you're standing up. Amen. Good to see you all. Good to have our friends from other places in church with us tonight. Amen. Matthew, the 24th chapter. Beginning at verse 5. Actually, I start half a verse before that. Words of Jesus Christ. Take heed that no man deceive you. Everybody say, take heed.
Take heed.
That means pay attention. Take notice. That nobody deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, if somebody comes up to you today and says, I'm Jesus Christ, that's not going to deceive you, is it?
No.
We've had a lot of people say, I'm Jesus, or I'm God, you know, around here. We've had people walk down these streets shouting with, you know, intoxication, of course, affecting them. I'm God. I'm God, you know. That hasn't deceived any of us into believing that that person is God. In fact, I walked up to one of these individuals some time ago and I said, I've been wanting to meet you for a long time, God. I said, could you heal some of my problems and take care of some of my needs? And he just looked at me real funny and yelled, I'm God, and went down the street. Well, I believe the real God will take some time with us, don't you? I'm not going to be deceived by somebody like that. But I might talk a little bit about how we could be deceived by those who come in His name. Hallelujah. We don't want to be deceived by Jesus' name people. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're in Matthew, the 24th chapter. And he said, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted." Amen. "And shall kill you." Well, that's not always easy to listen to, is it? "And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure," everybody say endure.
Endure.
"He that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come." You may be seated. The Bible talks about endurance a lot. There are many scriptures about enduring and enduring substance and how we should seek to endure and to make sure that we stay with it for the long haul. You know, to make sure that when all the events take place, when everything that could go wrong has gone wrong in our lives, that we don't let anything take us off of our firm foundation.
Hallelujah.
That we stay with Jesus Christ. It's very important that we realize the importance of sticking with what God has given us. One of the scriptures says, "We're not of them that draw back. And if any man would draw back," or any person that would put their hand to the plow, in other words, you start out to do a work for God, and then you look back, it says they're not fit for the kingdom of God. And in light of all the Word of God that we have, we need to make sure we examine ourselves and make sure, make double sure, that we're not only enduring to the end, that we're, but also that we're not looking back or attempting to go back.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Because if that is God's opinion, it's an important opinion. And He wrote it down so the whole world could see it. Don't look back. Don't go back. Grab hold. Hold on. Go forward. This is the teaching of our Lord. Go forward. Hold on. Stand. Isn't that in the Word of God? Endure. Endure hardness. Endure hardness as a soldier. Endure sound doctrine. Take heed that no man deceive you. Even if they come in the name of Jesus, don't let them deceive you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Many shall come in my name and shall deceive many. And you see, there are a lot of folks today who are preaching about Jesus. Well, if they're preaching about Jesus, then they're coming in Jesus' name. If they're teaching about Jesus, they're teaching in Jesus' name. If they're doing things for Jesus, they're doing things in Jesus' name. But you know, you could go to work for a large corporation and you can do things in their name, but if they have not given you the authority and you don't have the right instructions and you don't know your job, you could get your company in trouble. So we are instructed how to do things in the name of the Lord. And there's so many people today doing things in the name of the Lord, but they're leading people astray, teaching alternate plans of salvation. You're teaching there is another way that's just as good. Or this is what God told us to teach. Well, when we say, "Thus saith the Lord," it needs to be what the Lord said. Hallelujah. Amen. Because if we teach tender-hearted people and those who have made a decision to say, "I do want to serve God. I do want to change my life. I do want to make a new start and I want to live for God." If we teach these people who are sincerely trying to make a change, it would behoove us to grab a hold more firmly on what God has given us. And to get ourselves anchored on the rock,
yes.
And know that we're speaking the truth and speak it in love with the compassion of Christ. Because you cannot go in the name of the Lord unless you go with compassion. You cannot go in the name of the Lord unless you go with love in your heart. We cannot do anything in the name of the Lord unless we're doing all that we do, amen, according to the way that God would have us to do it. Then we see the examples of the Lord. When he came to the multitudes, he had compassion on all the multitude. It didn't matter where they were coming from, how they had lived, he fed them all. And in many cases where we read about him dealing with the crowd, it says, and he healed them all. Amen. We need to take with us the ability to feed, the ability to heal, the ability to love, the ability to show people that we really do care if we claim to be going in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. We can have the truth, and the truth has made us free. But the truth without love in it, it's like a wagon that you have hooked to a team of horses in order to make it go, but no horses. Amen. Or a car with no motor. Or a jet with no fuel. Praise God. We have to have all. I thank God that Jesus has made it possible that we can do all things. All things through Christ who strengthens us. Hallelujah. And it doesn't really matter how high we may be, how low we may be, how educated we may be, how unlearned we may be. As somebody already said tonight, seek after understanding. Amen. Understanding can come to a small child or an old person. Understanding can come to anybody that's willing to say, God, teach me. Help me. Help me to know your word. Because understanding does not depend on how educated you are or how much background that you have in church. Understanding does not come so much on how much experience you've had in dealing with other people. It simply comes with an open, obedient, submissive will. Amen. To do what you know to do. Praise God. I mean, most anybody that can read a little bit can read enough to know what to do. It's in the Bible. Love God with all your heart. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen. Put him first in your life. Make sure that you love him. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do good unto others. Be good, be kind, be gentle, be sweet, be true. Hallelujah. Don't go around picking a fight with people. Seek for ways to make them feel that they're wanted and needed and loved and cared for. Then you can go in the name of Jesus. And you won't deceive a lot of people. Hallelujah. Praise God. Being baptized in the name of Jesus is more than an act of getting in water and having somebody speak a few words over us. Being baptized in the name of Jesus is more, I say, than getting in the water and having somebody speak a few words. Being baptized in Jesus' name is something that all these things that we do physically represent what really is happening. Being baptized in the name of Jesus means we take on Jesus. Totally take on Jesus. That's why 10 years from now, after we have been baptized in water in the name of Jesus, we can still be baptized in the name of Jesus without getting in the water again. Yes. Hallelujah. 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 I'm being baptized in Jesus' name right now. Hallelujah. I am baptized right this moment in the name of Jesus for the remission of my sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Amen. The one baptism is not just the act of getting in the water. Amen. It includes that physical obedience to God, but the water doesn't wash away your sins. Amen. If water washed away our sins, we should be in the water all the time. We should swim and drink and take a bath all the time. Just Just splash the water. It does not wash away your sins. But getting in the water and following the example of Jesus Christ, who also went into the water, and going underneath the water is something that's typical and represents something else that's happening. Hallelujah. And you are cleansed from your sin, but it's through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. In obeying Christ and doing what He has commissioned us to teach and to be able to do and to teach it in love gives us the ability to do something on our part where we cannot work out our own salvation. We cannot cleanse ourselves from our sins. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves be a free person from sin. But God said that we could get in water and have somebody say, in the name of Jesus and His blood and His power and His grace and His love would take sin out of our lives. Hallelujah. 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 It's not by my works that I'm saved. But I thank God that He loved me enough that no matter what I did when I submitted my way to Him, He gave me the understanding I needed to get started. Now that we're getting started, how do we make sure that we're saved? Well, there are many scriptures that teach you how to be saved. You can start out by saying, I believe that there is a God. That's a good start. And if you believe with all your heart that there is a God, if you really believe that, and you say that and you mean it with all your heart, and you submit your will and your way to the knowledge and the understanding that there's a God watching over me, and you go beyond that and say, and I want to serve God. I know I've been a sinner and I want to change my ways. And I want God to help me to not be a sinner anymore. When you do these things, you are repenting to God. You are saying to God, I want to change. I want to be free from sin. I want to be a new creature that only You can cause this to happen because I don't have the ability. I don't have what it takes. I don't know what to do. But based on what I do know, I have the understanding to know that if I can acknowledge You as God in all my ways, You know what to do to make me to be a saved child of God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And He does know what to do. That's why He blesses so many who are on their way to full obedience and compliance to the total will of God. It's all in the Bible. What God does not need is somebody going in His name and blasting them with an axe and 2:38. They can be led to it through understanding and going in the way that we're instructed with love and patience and grace and mercy and forgiveness. Hallelujah. Acts 2:38 is not representative of a gun or an axe.
Right.
Hallelujah. That's it. Mercy, compassion, love. God working out a way that we can repent and be baptized in the glorious name of the only One that can set us free from sin. Hallelujah. Let's praise our Lord tonight. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. What we have today is a world filled with judgmental people who are sentencing and judging people to eternal damnation just because they don't see things their way. And they go in the name of the Lord. They go representing the kingdom of God, saying, you don't see what I see, you don't know what I know, and you're going to be lost unless you do what I do. We don't see that example in Jesus Christ. But what we see is a loving, tender-hearted shepherd going out amongst the people who don't know what He knows, they haven't done what He did, and they don't know how to get started, but He loves them anyhow. Hallelujah. And He teaches them. Teaching is not condemning. Teaching is helping. Teaching is finding a way to get understanding, to be able to find a door open so that somebody can understand what it is you're talking about. To be able to teach is to be able to break through the barriers. To be able to teach is to be able to come to a place where you can find common ground and people are willing to listen to you. Hallelujah. Jesus did in His example. He found His way lowly going through the crowd as one amongst the people. Being able to associate and relate to the homeless and the down and out and the ones who were being rejected and mocked and ridiculed and people saying, I don't care about you, I don't love you. He fit right in amongst the whole crowd and He said, I know how you feel, I know what you're going through, count me as part of this group, I have some lessons to teach you and I want to feed you along the way. And I want to help you along the way. And if you believe in me, I will help you with your infirmities. Hallelujah. What we've done is we've gone through 2,000 years of change. Change with traditions. Change with customs. Change with people's ideas of the way it should be done. I'm not a radical up here trying to promote some kind of a new thing. But you know what? If I preach it exactly as it is in the Word of God, if I stand on the Word of God exactly as it is, I'm going to be accused of being a fanatic, radical, somebody's trying to rock the boat and turn the world upside down. But what has happened, we've had 2,000 years of people coming in the name of the Lord, but they're not doing what the Lord said do. They're not representing Christ. Deceiving many, and the love of many is waxing cold. Not just the love of the people out in the multitudes, but the love of the people who say they come in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I don't want to be deceived by Jesus' name, people. I'm not just talking about the people who have been repentant and baptized in Jesus' name. Every person that believes there is a God whose name is Jesus Christ has made some kind of a start. Has made some kind of a change. Something has convinced them that the way I was going, the direction I took, was taking me in a wrong direction. And somewhere along the way, somebody had what it takes to get their attention and to cause them to want to change, to want to turn, to take a look. If you spend your entire life and cause that to happen to one individual, you've done a great work for God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One plants, another waters. God gives the increase. Your part may only be a small part in your eyes. It may not seem that you've done a lot, but if you planted a seed that somewhere along the way somebody says, I do need to make a change. I do need to start going to church. I do need to change my ways. I do need to start prayer in my home. I do need to look into the Word of God and seek after God and try to find my God and so that I can be a child of God. Oh, thank God for that person that came into my life, that I met at the supermarket, that I met on the job, that lived a life before me and got my attention to the point that I was willing to stop what I'm doing and just say, I do believe that there's a God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I do believe that there's a God. Oh, somebody has reached that point as a result of anything you've done. You have done a great work for God. Hallelujah. And that person has made a good start for God. There are too many today who are trying to deceive many. Maybe not knowing they're deceiving them. Maybe in innocence, but it's, you know, even the innocent people go to jail. If it's innocence and what they thought was right. I mean, if you think somebody's been mean to you and you pull out a gun and kill them, you're going to jail whether you thought it was right or felt right about it or not. Hallelujah. Some things are just right and we can do these things. There are other things that are governed by the law of Almighty God. There are certain points where lines have to be drawn and we don't cross those lines. Amen. So if somebody has made this start and wants to live for God, it's the responsibilities of all Christians everywhere to try to make ourselves able to represent Christ in a way that somewhere along the line somebody else can be used to say, let's go a little further. Amen. The starting point is not the ending point. Oh, hallelujah. There are too many deceiving people today saying, because you said those words, because you repeated after me, because you have done what I believe you should do in order to be saved, sign right here, now you're on your way to heaven. Hey, wait a minute, let's don't be deceiving these sincere hearts that Jesus Christ has shed His blood for. Hallelujah. God still requires repentance. And He wants somebody that's able to teach it to them. He wants somebody that's able to say, look, I love you. And I'm here on your behalf. I'm interested in you for Jesus Christ, with Jesus Christ. And I can relate to you. We can eat together. We can have fun together. We can work together. We can go places together. And don't forget, when I tell you the truth, I'm not your enemy. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm here to be of service. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they may not be able to swallow the truth that you know right now. Praise God. Even the disciples couldn't swallow the truth when Jesus said, I'm going to die in just a few days. One of them said, no way, you'll do that over my dead body. They will not get to you. Jesus knew what that follower did not know. And they were having a real difficult time believing. The one they had left all to follow would be put to an open shame. Amen. Well, if they had a problem believing Jesus Christ and they were looking at Him face to face, standing right there in the same lot where He stood, if they were having difficulty understanding His teaching, don't you know people are still going to have a problem understanding some of us? Hallelujah. You start teaching about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, they may not understand all that right now. But what they could understand is this. There's something good happening in my life, and it can happen for you. Do you realize that almost everybody you meet is in misery? I'm not talking about the state of Missouri. I'm talking about misery. People are hurting. People are filled with fears and doubts. And they need somebody that they can look at and say, you're different. Without us standing up there and telling them how different we are. There's something different about you. You smile when you have reason not to smile. You seem to enjoy things about life that others don't enjoy. And what they're doing down inside is crying out, can you help me to be like that? Can you help me to enjoy life better? Can you help me to be able to smile? Can you help me to get rid of some of my fears and my doubts? I know there's something about you that you have found. And you seem to arrive at a point that I don't understand. I don't know how to get there. The last thing they need for a Jesus name person to do is say, look, if you don't do what I'm telling you right now, you're going to split hell wide open. They don't need us to do that. They already are going through hell. They need somebody to point them away of a better life that will take them all the way to heaven. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord tonight. Let's praise the Lord tonight. I'm going somewhere tonight because there are hearts tuning in. There are hearts saying, tell me more. There are people in the world saying, I do have an interest, but I want to be approached with some kind of understanding. I want somebody to come to me that cares about me. I want somebody to give me an answer without attacking me. Hallelujah. 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 We talk loud sometimes, and it sounds to some people who have been abused when they were children, like maybe their abusive father when he was abusing them, and we don't mean to be hurtful. And sometimes we try to tone it down just a little bit because we are mindful of the fact that a lot of people have a problem when somebody starts yelling. And we don't want to yell to lose your interest. If it takes talking in a low tone of voice, the truth is the truth, no matter how we say it. I don't think Jesus necessarily pounded on a pulpit and shouted with a loud voice. Maybe he did shout with a loud voice. But whatever he did, somehow he found a way to break through the crowd and come into their hearts in such a way that many believed on him. Some believed on him to the point that said, if I could just touch even the border of his garment, I know that I will be made whole. If I can just reach him. Oh, if I can just get him to go where my daughter is dying. I know that he can help her. Oh, if I can just get to him and say to him, I'm blind. Would you please open my eyes? I believe he will open my eyes. I believe if I can just touch him, reach him, he'll open my ears, cause me to be able to hear again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe he'll do that. That was in the multitude. That was in the crowd. That was in the people out there looking on, bystanders that didn't know anything about God. But something was going on. Because others were being healed. Others were being changed. Others were being set free. Something was happening. And you know, it's human nature. If something good happens to you, I'd like to have something good happen to me. You get a new car, why can't I have one? Even in childhood, Johnny gets a toy, what's wrong with me having a toy? You get to go places, why can't I go places? That's all the way from childhood. And it doesn't seem to ever go away. All around us we have people who are really just children at heart. Looking at each other saying, why do you have things that I don't have? Why can you do things that I can't do? Why are you able to go places that I can't go? And all it is just human nature crying out saying, I want to be important too. I want to be noticed. I want to be received. I mean, you ever notice in school? The group gets together and you're standing on the outside, how it feels? You want to be part of what's going on. You don't want to be an outsider. That's not just something that happens at school. It happens in life. Nobody wants to be an outsider. Everybody, even if they won't admit it, wants to be included. Wants to be wanted. Wants to be noticed. Wants to be loved. Wants to be cared for. And I'm telling you, church, what I'm preaching tonight is the Jesus name doctrine. It's more than Acts 2:38. It's more than John 3:16. It's more than telling people that you need to change, that you need to live right. Everybody's been preached at all their life. What they need is somebody with a shepherd's heart to come amongst them and say, yeah, there's somebody that loves you. There's somebody that loves you. There's somebody that wants you. And until you can know and understand these things, I'll be here for you. I'll be patient. I'll be kind. I'll try not to let you hurt me with your words, with your ways, with your ideas. When you know where you stand, you're not offended by anything they can say or do. You have understanding. Understanding on the part of the person trying to get understanding is important. But even more important than that is the one who's trying to lead them to God. When he says get understanding, he's not just talking about the sinner out there on the street. Hey man, you get understanding. Preacher, Jesus' name preacher, you get understanding. Too many churches today, you could walk in and feel like you walked into a prison camp. People stabbing each other in the back. I'm sorry to tell you folks out there that don't know that. But if I don't tell you, you're going to find it out anyhow if you ever start trying to shop around and see if you can find a good church to go to. But let me caution you a little bit. Because you find a few bad places that call themselves a church. Don't turn off the idea that maybe somewhere in the world There is a group of people living for Jesus. And if you can find them, they will care about you. They will love you. They won't talk about you behind your back. They won't be mean to you. And they'll be gentle and kind. And no matter what you do, how many ways that you treat them, no matter whether you come or go, anytime you want God in your life, they'll be there for you. And even if you don't want God, they'll still be there for you. Hallelujah. And a lot of people say, I'm not serving God today because of the way the churches are. Hey, don't blame anything on the churches. Just because of a lot of things that aren't right, that doesn't mean God's not right. It's amazing how people take their spite out on God when some of the people that were supposed to represent Him did not represent Him wrong. The problem we have, we can usually sue somebody that misrepresents the company. I mean, we had a lady come in here that went to a local restaurant this week, opened up her sandwich, and bugs started crawling around out of her sandwich. We took pictures of it, got it all on camera. I mean, she paid money for a sandwich from a corporation with a local store in Norwich that sells food. And I'm not going to tell you the name of that store in case you might want to eat there tonight. Because I guarantee if I call the name of it, some of you will say, I thought about going there, but I'm not going tonight. And we're not here to hurt anybody's business. But I'm going to tell you this. When you bite into a sandwich and bugs start crawling out of your mouth, and she didn't make it quite that far, or when you buy from a corporation a sandwich, you trust the person at the drive-thru. When he hands you that wrapped package with meat and bread in it, that it's going to be clean. And it's going to be cooked. And the ingredients you paid for and ordered will be there with no bugs. Most of us are living in a hurry. And we go through those places and no telling how many bugs we've already eaten. Because we grab the burger when we're hungry. And just because it tastes extra good doesn't mean it was all beef. And just because one person finds bugs, that doesn't mean there haven't been a lot more bugs who are no longer living today. Because somebody ate them. Now this person in our church who found these bugs was kind. This person went to that place and talked to them. Took a video and a picture of the bugs. So they could see for themselves they were real bugs. Even called the health department. You know what the health department said? Bugs won't hurt you. That's what I thought. Why don't he eat them? What we ought to do is go to that man at the health department with a sandwich full of nothing but bugs. They have a bug. But I tell you what would make a big difference. And I don't care how insignificant that person was. Standing at the counter or standing at the drive-thru, when that person handed that sandwich out that window with bugs in it, that person represented that business. And that person represented and had the responsibility of representing an entire multi-million dollar corporation with thousands of restaurants around the world. And if somebody wanted to really get mean, they could do what the person did to spill hot coffee on himself at McDonald's and collect a little bit of revenue here. So these people should be happy that there are some Christians in the community who are willing to see some bugs and keep on going forward. You know what they offered to appease? Some more sandwiches. Hallelujah. I'm not here to run down anybody's business, but I'm here to say God's business is a big business. And if any one of us says, I represent the kingdom of God, somebody's going to look to us as being responsible to know what to say and what to deliver and what to do and how to go about things. Why don't we praise the Lord right now? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When I lived in Missouri, there was a man who went to a chicken place, Church's Chicken, to buy some good chicken. He was a white man, and the cook was a black man. The white man ordered white meat, and the black man said, dark meat's just as good as white meat. And they got into it. Now, the man who walked in had no racial prejudice thoughts on his mind at all. He just wanted chicken, and he preferred the breast and the white meat part of the chicken. But there seemed to be something on the mind of the cook. And he was being bothered by something, evidently. And when the man said, I want white meat, and it was a white man saying, I want white meat, it bothered him. So he spoke back, and he said, dark meat's just as good as white meat. And the white man said, but I want white meat. He said, well, I'm going to give you dark meat. He put the thighs in the grease, the hot grease. Then he picked up the grease and threw it on the man. Scalded him, burned him all over. He said, now how do you like your meat? That's not the end of that conversation. The fellow, the cook, was only working for $8 an hour. But that little bit of grease and that little conversation cost that business $50 million. Why? Because that individual represented the entire corporation. He went to that man in the name of Church's Chicken. Hallelujah. We need to watch what we say. We go to people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We represent the kingdom of God, and we need to watch what we say and how we deal with these people. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't just have church when we go to church. Right. We're still having church when we meet with our neighbor whose dog bit our cat. We're still having church. We're still having church in the traffic jam. You know what traffic jams are good for? Especially if you get stranded on an interstate highway and thousands of trucks and cars are sitting there and everybody's mad. You need to be the only one that's able to endure. They're all standing out there looking down the road. What is going on down there? Cars just sitting there, bumper to bumper, thousands of them. Everybody in the same predicament. Now we're all on common ground. Everybody's in a hurry. Horns are blowing for miles. Beep, 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 beep. People are cursing, yelling, getting mad. Babies are crying. People are saying, I need to go to the bathroom. Men are running out to get behind trees. 2 hours and you're still there. Nothing to eat. Your car running out of gas because it's cold. You got to keep the motor running. You look on the faces of the crowd and everybody's mad. Especially when the word comes down the line. They're just working on a little pavement up there and it's road construction. Now what are we going to do? The last thing that crowd needs to see a child of God do is to do what they do. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Good time to turn on a tape. Turn it up a little bit. Anything's better than what they're doing. Amen. Good time to just say praise God. Anybody out here want to talk about something good? And smile. They may run you off, but you can't go far. Just jump in your car, lock the door. You know what I've done many times, and I'm not the expert at this, but I have done this. Because I have been stranded on highways many times. Those highways are there for us to be able to travel. And there's nothing more frustrating to be on a trip and be in a hurry to get there, and all of a sudden, miles and miles of cars and trucks are just sitting there like a parking lot. And you know it's going to be hours before you're able to get past it. So you get out of the car and you stand out there because everybody else is standing around, some of them saying bad words and doing this, doing that, and mad and aggravated. I have made friends during those times. Walk up to a truck. How you doing? I'm not going to say what, I'm not going to give you the interpretation of that, but what he said is not fit to say in church. But you know what? I found out in just letting him let off a little steam, let him talk, let him get past their, you know, they needed somebody to gripe to about what they're griping about. Go ahead and let them use you for a sounding board. And still be there when they're through. Hallelujah. And when you talk to them, they're going to notice you don't sound like they sound. You don't have to tell them, I don't talk like you. Just do what you do. You might notice it's a nice truck. When you start talking about what they're interested in, wow, what a truck. They forget about why they're standing there and why they're so mad. All of a sudden, their mind goes to, he likes my truck. He likes my truck. Wow. You own this rig? Well, yeah, I do. Whew, what a truck. You know, I've done a lot more good for people that way, with that approach, than I have saying, you need to obey Acts 2:38. Now, I don't know that I won any truck drivers to God from stranded situations. But I don't know that I haven't started some to looking at what makes some people talk good after I talk bad. I sat down beside a truck driver in a restaurant one night about 3 o'clock in the morning. And he was just yelling curse words and just saying terrible things. And so I talked about his shirt. He had a nice shirt on. I said, I like that shirt. Oh, yeah, my wife gave me that on our anniversary. Yeah. A lot of people tell me they like this shirt. And I said, well, yeah. I mean, you know where she got it? Maybe want to go shopping for one like that sometime. Well, yeah, I think she got it at Sears. Yeah, you like it, honey? And he went on talking about blah, 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 and said all these terrible words. And after a while, he said, so you like my shirt? Yeah, nice. Makes your face complexion look good. Said, you know, people talking, we were just sitting drinking coffee, you know, crowd around, this guy sitting there cussing. I just told him I like the shirt. I didn't have any motives other than just to break the conversation so I could enjoy my food. After a while, he said, what do you do for a living? You a truck driver? I said, no, I'm not a truck driver. What do you do? I'm a preacher. Oh, no, he said. Now you tell me. I said, why you say that? I wouldn't have said all I said if I'd known you were a preacher. I said, did I say anything bad about what you were saying? I just told you I liked your shirt. He said, I know why you said it. I said, you do? I said, I really said it because I really like your shirt. He said, no, you said it. So you could stop me from cussing. Well, I didn't tell him I said it to stop him cussing. But I found I had a brilliant mind on my hand. I had a man who had some understanding. There was a man that I was talking to there in the middle of the night who had some understanding about these matters. And I just let him talk. And as he kept on talking, he said, you know, I used to go to church. I was raised in church, in fact. I forget the name of the church, but he said, I lost interest in it. A lot of things happened. But he said, when I think about some of the good things that I enjoy, he said, sometimes it makes me really think. He said, those are some good days. I said, yes, sir. He said, would you pray for me? Now, I didn't go in there to tell him, who in here, is there anybody here who wants me to pray for you? And I guarantee you, if I had walked into that truck stop and said, I'm here to pray for somebody because I have the truth, I wouldn't have had that opportunity. I'm trying to teach you something today, folks. We are coming in the name of the Lord. And so let's do what Jesus does. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you pray for me? I'm going to have to stop. Shelton Young, I've told it before. Some of you haven't heard this. A friend of mine in Louisiana wanted some property. He wanted to build a church. God sent him to that city and said, I want you to build a church in that city. Showed him the land where he wanted him to build. He wanted that land, but he didn't know how to go about obtaining it. And he went to the city records, found the property, the lot, or the acreage, and inquired about it, and found out it was owned by a Jewish person, a businessman in the city who had lots of real estate. He went and knocked on the man's door, and he came to the door, and he said, sir, I'm Shelton Young. And he said, I'm here to see if the property that you have over next to the interstate, over in that area, and he described it, he said, could it be bought? Would you be willing to consider selling it? And so the man said, so what are you going to use it for? And Brother Young said, to build a church. He said, a Christian church? Yes, sir. And so this Jewish man lectured to him his belief about God, told him how that he did not believe that Jesus Christ is Messiah, and he told him why he believed, what he does believe, and that nothing would ever change him, and he said, the knowledge that you want to use that property to build a church for Jesus Christ, my answer is no. Brother Young just stood there. He did not argue with the man. He didn't say anything bad about how he believed. But he noticed something. Art paintings on the wall. He looked at all that beautiful art and he said, where did you get that beautiful art? He said, I did it myself. You did this? He said, look at this. And the man said, you know something about art? He said, yes, I do art too. Really? And he went over and he showed it to him and he pointed out the various little shades and the colors and some of the reasons why he painted it this way and that way. And Brother Young said, do you have any more? Yeah, I have a basement full. Could I see it? Yeah. And so they walked downstairs together and there was art everywhere. And Brother Young spent about an hour saying, look at this. Wow. Look at this. Can I buy one of these? He said, you like that? I'll give it to you. He handed it to him. After a while, he said, what was it you came to see me about? Oh, he said, about that property over there. Could it be bought? He said, no, it can't be bought, but I'm going to give you some property. So he said, let's go. And he got in the car with the man. They drove out. They drove out to the acreage that Brother Young wanted that he owned. But he took him to the backside and said, there's several acres here that I'll just give you. And Brother Young looked at all that and he said, sir, I appreciate that. But he said, I want that choice property over there where the interstate's coming through. That's what I really need. Said the Jewish man scratched his head. Said, "You drive a hard bargain, preacher. But I'll give it to you." Why did he do that? Was it because he was preaching to him that you need to be born again of the water and of the Spirit? No. It's because he was representing Jesus Christ. Showing love and appreciation and kindness and gentleness. Hallelujah. Today there is a multi-million dollar complex on that property. Now, I don't know whatever happened to that man that gave the property, but I am quite sure that he has noticed that there is a multi-million dollar family center and a big church and about 700 people going there regularly on that property that he donated to that man because he liked his art. Hallelujah. Let's all stand and praise the Lord tonight. Let's praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 So what would you have me do, sir, that I might receive my sight? What would you have me do? What can I do for you? We go in all these stores. Some of us work for stores. It's a common thing to hear. So what could we do for you? What can we do for you? Can I help you? Why can't we do that for God? Let's thank Him one more time. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we want to be like You. Give us understanding. Hallelujah, Lord. A tender spirit. Compassion. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah.